softball championship Saturday. The three baseball championship games are going to be happening here in Visalia. And we are broadcasting the Emmanuel and Liberty championship game at 12 o'clock. So we thought, well, let's just roll on here, do my show here for 2 hours. And Gabe Camarillo is going to jump on around 11:40. And we're going to transition right into broadcasting the Emmanuel and Liberty championship game for Division IV. Very, very excited about bringing these broadcasts to you. So we're going to be doing the Emmanuel game, like I said, and against Liberty. Orange Cove and Wood Lake are going to be playing at 3:30. We're not going to be broadcasting that game. And then the big one, the Division I granddaddy of them all, you could say, Mike Brink and Jose Gonzalez are going to bring you Buchanan and Centennial about 7:30. They'll probably be coming on around 7:15. So we're, again, I'm up here in the booth. We have a nice view of the stadium right here. The grounds crew is getting it ready. I mean, you guys know this is a phenomenal, very intimate baseball ballpark. Seats about 1,800. I love this ballpark. The seats are right on top of the action. Heck, I would say there's about, 15 to 20 feet from home plate to where the front row of the seats are. It's going to be an incredible day of baseball here at Valley Strong Ballpark. We are very excited and pleased to bring in these baseball games. All right, so what's going on today? Well, I'm going to be doing a show. I'm going to be talking to a lot of coaches, talking with Gabe Camarillo as well. This is the wrap-up, basically, of spring. I know the Central Section Masters Track and Field was on last week. So what's going on the last 2 days at Buchanan? Well, state track meet. So I know there's a lot of fun stuff going on there. I know the Mountain West Baseball Championships are happening at Pete Biden Field, at Bob Bennett Stadium as well. So tons of fun stuff going on here in the Central Valley. There's definitely no lack of sports going on. So for the next 2 hours, we're going to be talking with Steve Ramirez. He is the head baseball coach at Emmanuel High School. He's here, man. The team's going to get ready to take some batting or some in and out in just a second. I see him walking his way up here. Have a great conversation with Coach Steve Ramirez, his first year. How about that? First year, he's an alum of the school, and he's brought his team to the Central Section Championship in D4. Talking with Coach Ramirez at around 10:40, Buller softball. They've been on quite a run. Coach Jamie Maxey's coming on the show. The number 5-seeded Buller Knights are going to be taking on the number 2-seed Central at Margie Wright Diamond. Talking with Coach Maxey about that matchup. At 11 o'clock, we've crowned a Valley champion in baseball in Division III. Coach Jim Cranford's coming on the show. I think he might actually be coming. I think he's coming up here because he wants to watch the Emmanuel baseball and Liberty baseball game. So Coach Cranford is going to be coming on the show. The Vikings, they won the D3 championship. I'm going to be recapping that game in just a second. They defeated a very good Dos Palace team, 7-5. Brad Fonts, the head coach of Buchanan High, is coming on. I'd say around 11:20, 11:25 or so. Coach Fonts has done an incredible job. He's found his team, his young Buchanan baseball team, the 2-seed in the championship game against surprising Centennial, the Road Warriors. They've won 3 games on the road, beat number 8 Madera, beat number 1 Bullard, beat Redwood. Can you believe that? All on the road. So Buchanan takes on Centennial. We'll be talking with Coach Fonts. Around 11:20 or so. And then Gabe Camarillo's coming on. Gabe and I are going to be broadcasting Emmanuel and Liberty game. We're going to be previewing the game, take a break, and then boom, right at 12 o'clock, first pitch. I'm going to be bringing that action to you. I'm going to go over a couple of the game scores that have happened in the last couple days. I mentioned Kingsburg defeated Dos Palace 7-5. Kingsburg jumped out to a 7-2 lead after 2 innings. We thought that there was going to be tons of runs in that game. It ended up being 7-5. Dos Palace, man, they came in with only 2 losses. They're 26-2 on the season. We didn't know much about them. We knew that you're looking at their stats. Those guys put up some phenomenal stats. They just walked through league. And you always wonder when you haven't seen a team, like, man, are these kids for real? And watching those guys live, they came out swinging. They had some dudes. They had great approaches to the plate. They weren't afraid. They weren't intimidated at all. They actually scored 2 runs in the first. Then Holden Hirschhorn for Kingsburg, one of the twins, led off the bottom of the first with a home run down the right field line. They scored a couple more runs, and it went up 7-2, like I said, and held on. Dos Palace would not give up in that game at all. So hats off to Dos Palace for making a great run. Congratulations to Kingsburg. We're going to be hearing more from Coach Cranford around 11:05. hear from him and his perspective. But what an incredible team that Kingsburg has. They definitely deserve that D3 title. Last night, Bakersfield Christian defeated Cabrillo 8-3. That game was tied 3-3, headed to the sixth inning. Bakersfield Christian exploded for five runs. And, the number one seed took over, and they got a really, really strong ball club, three Division I arms. They're going to make a run in the regional playoffs as well. Yesterday, Fireball defeated East 4-1 to win Division V. Today, like I mentioned, Emmanuel Liberty at 12, Woodlake and Orange Cove in D6 at 3:30 on this field, and Buchanan and Centennial in the nightcap. Softball, congratulations to Madera for winning the D2 title last night. A Margie Wright Diamond defeated number 10 Frontier 4-2. Today, couple games. Number 1 Fowler versus number 15 Reedley at 4:30. At 11 o'clock, Orange Cove, the number 1 seed in D4. They had a really strong program going on over there. Playing number 7 Mission Prep. D5 at 1:30, Dos Palos is going to be playing number 2 Boron. And Division 6 yesterday, number 4 South defeated Orcutt Academy, the 3 seed, 10-0. So congratulations to those schools that won division titles, Central Section titles. We got, again, at Valley Strong Ballpark here in Visalia, California, where we're doing the show live. We're going to have 3 games. Very excited about it. The game that we're going to be broadcasting, Gabe Camarillo and I at 12 o'clock, Emmanuel and Liberty. We're going to be hearing from Emmanuel coach, first-year coach, Steve Ramirez, after the break on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia, California. Normally, we do my show at First String Sports, but big shout-out to those guys. They are awesome. They've been my day one sponsors. You guys know where they are, Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. It's the Letterman Jacket headquarters. It's the only place where you can get your Letterman jacket, get it custom embroidered, get whatever you want on there, Bible verses. You know, hey, even if you're a band person, my daughter was a band person. She didn't get a Letterman's jacket, but she got all the patches. Hey, band people, you can get a Letterman's jacket too. You can put whatever you want on those. Academics, it's really cool. So make sure you check out First String Sports. It's a beautiful day. Absolute gorgeous day. Doing my show from one of the booths up top behind home plate. It's going to be an incredible day of baseball. We're looking forward to bringing you all the action. Again, 12 o'clock, we'll be bringing you Emmanuel and Liberty for the D4 Central Section Baseball Championship. Going to bring on Steve Ramirez. He's live here. Why is he live? Because they're coming early, man. They came early. Check out the field. Get used to it. They played in the Valley Championship game last year in Division 5, I believe. Coach Ramirez, this is his first-year coach at Emmanuel. I have a 21-9 overall record. They're taking on a really good Liberty Madera team, ranked number 1 in the division. He's an alum of the school. Won a Valley title at Emmanuel in 1993. We want to talk about that 1992 game in just a minute because he played on this field. So not only did he win a Valley Championship at Emmanuel, yes, I said Valley Championship because back then they were at Emmanuel, but he played here on this field in 92 when they lost, but now he gets to coach. So Coach Ramirez, first of all, thanks for coming up, man. This is a gorgeous day, isn't it?
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah, Paul, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show right before the game. I'm really excited.
Yeah, this is awesome. So how much sleep did you get last night? Be honest with me.
Probably about 4 hours sleep, but it was a solid 4.
A solid 4?
Solid 4 because I woke up 5:30.
Okay.
Rearing to go. I almost went outside and mowed the lawn. I was so hyped up.
And your neighbors are like, hey, what's that noise going on? It's 6:24, and this guy's mowing the lawn, waking everybody up. I could see that. All right, but when you did wake up, you know, 5 whatever, I mean, what was going through your mind? You're like anxiety, like I can't wait to get there. I'm glad it's happening at 12 o'clock where I don't have to wait. I mean, what exactly was going through your mind?
You know, I prepared ever since we beat Reedley on Wednesday. I've been thinking about this on Tuesday, excuse me. I've been thinking about this game. So you just replay over and over what you want to do, your game plan. I try not to overthink too many things because, you know, I don't want to change my mind over and over and over. But, no, I woke up. I was excited. Actually, we had the boys over for breakfast. So that was one of the first things on my mind because I knew all 19 boys were coming over for breakfast. So I had to make sure everything was in order. And my wife got up early. God bless her. She was doing the eggs and the waffles and all that. So to be honest, my mind was occupied with breakfast, which is probably a good thing.
That might be a good thing because let's say you're – lying awake at 12:47. You're like, oh, maybe I should put in this guy. Maybe I should. So don't overthink it too much. That's exactly a good strategy. So I know you had kids over last night as well. So it's been a huge bonding time, and played some Pictionary. I saw which is a lot of fun. But what's been the message to the team? Again, you've played in Valley Championship games. This is your first year. You were an assistant last year, but what's been your message to the team as a 3 seed making it all the way, or just like, hey guys, we've gone this far, might as well win it. Hey, play loose. We've been playing good baseball all season. What's been the message?
You know, basically all year we've been looked at as the underdog. You know, we lost 5 key seniors last year when we made the D5 final. And to be honest, they were starters and key components of the team last year. So this year, you know, the expectations are we wanted to play the best we possibly could. We wanted to develop that family atmosphere. I mean, we started with a brand new coach. We had no turnover. I was the only guy back from last year. So luckily I was able to bring in tons of good guys, but it was just family. That was kind of the mantra of the whole season was we're a family. We got to work hard. If we wanted to do something special, we were all going to have to be on board. And lo and behold, everybody bought into it. And now I'm looking at this beautiful ballpark and getting ready to play in about an hour and a half or so. So everything we worked hard for, I kept preaching, guys, if our goal was to make it to Valley. And we preached that constantly day after day after day. And every single practice, the boys, we would make sure we do our daily verse. And then we'd talk about what it takes to be a champion and how to get to the Valley. And lo and behold, like I said, we're here and we're about to play this amazing championship game.
It's always a goal to perform well throughout the season. So it's like you got to win, you know, goal to compete well in tournaments. You got a goal to win league. And then you have a goal to get to the Valley championship game. If I would have told you, I don't know, let's say at the middle of the season, you know, I know you had a couple slumps in the season, and you know the ups and downs always happen, you know, when you're dealing with high school kids in the 30 game season. But if I would have told you, let's say 6 weeks ago, that you guys would be playing today in a Valley Championship, what would you have said?
In all honesty, I would, you know, it depended on what time of the season it was, because you're right, we had a couple slumps at times. We get hot. And we play in that TCC league, and where it's really difficult league. Everybody's really good team. So 6 weeks ago, obviously, I would have told you what the coach needs to say. Oh, of course, you know, our goal is to make it to the Valley and all this other stuff. But at the same time, too, if you would have told me a D4 sectional championship, man, I would have probably looked at you on the side and said, man, that's going to take a lot of hard work. And but we never lost faith. The boys never lost faith. Neither did my coaching staff. And I think that's why we're here.
Talking with Steve Ramirez, the head baseball coach at Emmanuel High School. Can you point to a specific point in the season where you're like, hey, I think we're going to make a serious run? I know, Steve, we've talked all season about, hey, are you going to be in Division III, right? We thought that you might be in Division III, a low seed. You ended up the 3 seed in Division IV. But is there a specific point in the season, maybe a game? I know you've had some wild games and some walk-off hits, but can you point to any point in the season where you're like, man, okay, this team's got something special?
You know, I think back to the CVC game, the first time we played them, and obviously they got a great group of kids over there. They were actually the league champion, and we played them. And I was actually missing some key kids that game. We had a kid who was absent or had a doctor appointment, wasn't able to go to school that day, so he wasn't able to play, and he's my number 4 hitter. And there was just some other guys who were just banged up and they couldn't play. And I remember we went into that game, and the coaches and I just kept telling the kids, you got to believe special things can happen. And lo and behold, we won that game. And then when we saw that, that we could go toe-to-toe against anyone, that kind of changed the season, because then as we got healthier and other kids were able to come back to the team, we just got stronger and stronger. So that, I think back to that CVC game early on, that was a big turning point for the program where I knew we definitely could make a run.
Yeah, there's usually a point in the season you're like, oh, these kids got something special, big hits, clutch hits, and getting hits from guys that you might, hey, let's be honest, might not expect. You're like, man, that guy really rose to the occasion. So there's different points throughout the season that you could definitely point to. Again, looking at this out at the stadium, well, I mean, look at this grounds crew, man. How awesome is this? You don't have to worry about maintenance and your AD. Look at these guys are doing it, you know, tampering the field, and they're going to chalk it soon. And, man, this is going to be great. But let's go back to 1992, right? So – you guys are your junior season. I'm following the team as well because my brother's on the team, same class as you. You guys find yourself in the Valley Championship game against a loaded Lindsay team. I mean, that team was loaded. They had a couple guys that were drafted. I mean, those guys were men. And here's a young Eagles team playing on this field right here, this exact field. Now, some things look different, or obviously, but What do you remember? It was a night game. But what do you remember from that experience and playing on the field? Did the field just seem huge to you, or what do you remember about that?
Well, you know, I know you're an Emanuel alumni like I am, and you remember the old baseball field. We had a track running through the right field. It was small. We had a big old shed on the left side. It was pretty.
There were some traps. Basically, traps.
If you exactly.
Didn't, yeah. If you didn't know where you were, you could trip over some things.
Yeah. So we played in a little comfy, if you will, ballpark back in the early 90s. And then all of a sudden, we made it to the Valley Championship, like you said, it's called back then. And then we stepped on this monstrous field. I remember just being in awe. You could have told me I was in Dodger Stadium, I would have believed it, because it was just so huge and big. And I remember, I think I shared it with Gabe when I was on a show not too long ago. We were a program that had a lot of losses before then. So that was first year we started to encounter winning. So then we came out here and we saw Lindsay. We had a couple guys who were probably, I think they were drafted, and several going to prestigious colleges and stuff like that. So we were in awe. Our coach was trying to keep us, you know, keep the focus and the task at hand. But I'm not going to lie, we stepped on the field and just looked massive. It just looked massive.
And so I know you played last year in the championship game. You guys fell to Kennedy. You were an assistant coach then. Is there something that, something about the experience of the kids playing on this field last year you think is going to translate well to today?
I do. You know, yesterday at the end of practice, we were talking, and I said, guys, raise your hand. How many of you guys were here last year on this team when we played for a title? And half my team raised their hand, more than half. And so I said, see, guys, I said, this is nothing new. There's nothing to be afraid of. And this is, you know, we're going to go there. We're going to act like we've been there before, because we have. So I kind of talked to the kids, and I said, you know, this is another game. We played on this field before. We're familiar with this field. We played a lot of big games. We've played a lot of great teams. So I really think when we come game time at 12 o'clock, I think the boys are just going to be prepared to play, and they're not going to be intimidated by the size of this field.
We're talking to Steve Ramirez, a head baseball coach at Emanuel High School. All right, I want to talk about your team a little bit.
Okay.
Some specific players. So I know you got some young players mixed in with a few seniors. Let's talk about the pitching. I know you threw your number one against Reedley. I believe he threw five innings. What's the game plan pitching wise for today? I don't want to give away too much, but what's the game plan pitching wise?
You know, I'm not want to give away too much too soon, but you know, Nolan Santillan is who you're referring to. So he's got five innings to throw. He's going to be ready to go when I need him. We kind of, you know, the coaches and I have talked, we kind of have a committee ready to go at all times. So
it's all hands on deck, right?
All hands on deck. All of my guys' arms, including Nolan, who luckily we played on Tuesday, so he's had a full 3 days game rest, so he's ready to go as needed. But we have a couple other guys who are ready to go as well, so you'll get to see first pitch who's got the ball, and then we're going to ride him as far as we can, and then we'll kind of see who's after that.
Well, Gabe Kemery and I was calling the game. He's going to be coming on around 11:40 or so. We're going to keep a keen eye, see who's warming up over there, and see who trots out there to the mound to pick up the ball. You got some hitters as well. I know Trevor Pike had a huge hit in the playoffs. Heck, John Van Leeuwen had a monster hit as well. You got a first baseman that can mash. Your son, is going to be starting, I assume, at second base today. You got one of the Vossler kids as well. So talk about some of your hitters so people become familiar with some of those dudes.
You know, one of the reasons that we've been hot and kind of got hot through the playoffs is I've had so many guys come up. Like you mentioned, Zabe Gonzalez and Eli Gouraya, they've been my 3-4 hitters, and they're just consistently really good. And they consistently find a way to put the ball in play. They're consistently finding a way to knock in runs. They score quite a few runs. But, you mentioned Aiden Vossler, my junior center fielder. He went 3-for-4, and he was one of the main catalysts of why we beat Reedley. He started the seventh inning with a double in the gap, and then that just opened up the gates, and that was one of the reasons that we won the game. You mentioned my son. You mentioned John Van Leeuwen, both sophomores who have just, you know, they're consistent guys. They find a way to get on, whether they get a base hit or get a walk or hit the ball really hard and the other team makes an error. It's just been that. And Trevor Pike, one of my seniors, Jason Poole, another senior. So it's 1 through 9. To be honest, I never know who's going to be the guy who delivers that day. It's somebody always steps up. And I'm hoping today everybody steps up because we're playing a really good Liberty team.
You are. I'm going to get to that in a second. But talk about your left fielder and center fielder. You mentioned how they got speed and they're going to need it today. So talk about, hey, not too many baseballs dropping the gap. with those guys, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the game plan is pretty much don't let the get ball behind you, because I'm looking at dead center and it says 405. So if a center fielder misses that ball, you're talking triple alley out there, if not a home run. But so, yeah, we want to play aggressive. We're going to play the same kind of ball we've been playing where, you know, communication's key. And like I said, when you have a couple guys who are just blazing fast, they haul in everything. And I've been very, very grateful for that.
Talking with Steve Ramirez, first-year head coach at Emmanuel. Here at live at Valley Strong Ballpark as we see the Emmanuel players walking behind home plate. They got their gear. They got their bags headed to that first base dugout. I want to talk about this Liberty Madera ball club, number one seed. We've been following them all year too, Coach Ramirez. They got an excellent record. They're a powerful ball club. What do you know, and what's the game plan against these guys?
You know, that was our first game of the year against them, and I think we were their second game of the year, and they're just a solid team. You know, we saw each other very early on, so obviously a lot has changed since then. When we played them the first time, we had a 5-run lead, and unfortunately we kind of let that one go. I didn't want my guys to go long innings at that point, so I kind of brought in some relievers, and unfortunately we lost the lead. But they're a really good team. I've been following them very closely, so I know they got amazing hitting. But not only, you know, we keep hearing about the hitting, but they got really good pitching too. So that is why they have 25 wins, because they're just a solid team all the way around. So the game plan is just to try to play, keep the game close. You know, we don't want to get out of hand. We're just hoping that we get some timely hitting with some good fielding and pitching.
There's Liberty Madera in their white and green jerseys heading out of the third base dugout. The opponent for Emmanuel, the 3-seed Eagles, take on the number one seed of Liberty Madera at 12 o'clock, talking with Emmanuel coach Steve Ramirez. All right, so let's go back a tiny bit to 93 when you guys won a Valley title, coached by Tim Thiessen, Fresno State Hall of Famer. Tim's an incredible guy. Guys had a 25-4 record. I coached at the school. I played at the school. My brother played with you. I'm going to go on record. Some people might argue with me. I think that's the greatest baseball team in Emmanuel history. Yeah, you're shaking your head. Of course you got to. That team was just so stacked. And you were an all-state player, pitcher, shortstop on that team. But one of the stats that I will always remember, I'll never forget this, is that you struck out 0 times as a hitter, and well over 100 at-bats. How in the world did you never strike out the entire season? Did you ever come close? You never, like, barely foul a ball off and, like, I can't strike out here?
You know, I don't remember how it hit. Somebody kind of told me after 50 at-bats, hey, you haven't struck out yet. And I remember thinking, oh, I'm not going to strike out. I just didn't want to do that walk of shame when you strike out back to the dugout. I just didn't want to do that. But I credit to my childhood. We used to make little tape balls out of duct tape with the newspaper, and they'd be real small. And then when we'd lose those, I would just get my good old yellow wiffle ball bat and just hit rocks for days into the orchard next to me. So when you're hitting a little rock with a little skinny yellow wiffle bat, I think after maybe 10,000 cuts, you get a pretty good eye. You develop a pretty good eye. So I'm going to give that the credit.
That's a good call. And so obviously that translated to your fungo skills.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I used to be much better, but now I have my assistant, Chowy Alvarado. He's better than me, so I let him
have
it. Yeah. So I've kind of given that up because he's better. Fungo, you got to stay with it. And I haven't really, to be honest, I got a little lazy because I got great assistants who do so much for me.
All right. So is your assistant going to do the in and out here? So you're not going to do it?
Yeah. You'll see it first on the hand how good he is with the fungo.
Well, high expectations, man, because I'm a big fungo guy too. And if he, I don't know, man, if he misfires on a couple, I'm going to have to get on him as well.
You know what, Paul? I've seen your fungo game. It's good. You're speaking the truth.
I got back. And I did the old underhand flip. I could still fungo a little bit. All right, I want to ask you to, before we got a couple minutes here with Coach Steve Ramirez, you know, you're an alum of the school like we've talked about. All 4 of your kids are going to Emmanuel. Your son's going to be playing in this game. Your father-in-law is a Hall of Fame basketball coach, John Thiessen. You're well-versed with, you know, in Emmanuel. You're steeped in Emmanuel blue. What would another Central Section title mean to you and the program? I believe it would be the school's 8th baseball Central Section championship. But what would it mean to you, the players, and the program to win another one?
It would mean everything. You know, you're right. My wife and I are both alumni. Met her. You know, she's my high school sweetheart, so we bleed blue, and our children have gone through there. Emmanuel has meant so much to us and just what it stands for. As winning a title – as a player, if I could win one with my son and my other baseball boys are also my sons, it would mean everything because I really want it for them. I've seen what we've been through. I've seen how hard they've worked, And to bring a title back to our school and to add that eighth one would be mean everything, especially as an alumni, as a parent, as a father. So we're going to give everything we got, and hopefully we'll see in a couple hours if it comes to fruition.
Absolutely, and they're chalking the lines here. And, Steve, you and I have known each other for a long time, extremely proud of what you've accomplished. And, you know, full disclosure, you and I worked together for 25 years. Yep. We're about to complete our 25th year working together. You are my boss. I'll be honest with that. You are the superintendent principal of Traver School. I am a teacher, athletic director, one of those fun guys. So, you know, we've known each other for a long time, and we've had many conversations throughout the years. I tell people, I'm like, man, sometimes through the school season, I see Steve Ramirez, and I talk to Steve more than I talk to my family and stuff. And, you know, not a knock at all, but just saying how much time we spent together over the years. So, Steve, I'm proud of you. I'm excited to call this game. This has been an honor for me. So, good luck today.
Hey, Paul, I appreciate it. And, you know, we're one of the few who can talk curriculum over the the lunch table and then all of a sudden go into a Valley title game and stuff like that. So it's been a pleasure to work with you, Paul. Your brother is a very dear friend of mine. Like you said, we played ball together. Your mom is amazing. I mean, your dad was a great supporter. So, yeah, the Metters family means a lot to the Ramirez family. So it's just great that I got to talk with you and then kind of share this experience with you as well.
Absolutely. And one thing I remember you told me, like, during baseball games in high school, you could always hear my mom above everybody else, and you could probably hear that not so small voice in the back of your head sometimes.
Marilyn Metters' voice will forever be tattooed in my brain, and I'm probably going to even hear it a little bit today.
You might all the way from Clovis, California. All right, Coach Ramirez, thanks for coming on. Good luck today. This is going to be a fun day. Congratulations on everything you've accomplished.
It was a pleasure to be on the show. Thanks, Paul.
All right, coming up after the break, we're going to be talking with Bullard softball coach Jamie Maxey on 1430 ESPN. Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Just had a great conversation with Emmanuel baseball coach Steve Ramirez. His Eagles are taking on number one Liberty at 12 o'clock. Gabe Camarillo and I are going to be calling that game again at 7:30, the big one. Number two Buchanan facing number nine Centennial. And then at 3:30, we have Woodlake and Orange Cove. Yeah, I love doing this job. I love bringing everybody all the great stuff that's happening out there in the central section with high school sports. And, you know, stories like what's going on at Emmanuel with Steve Ramirez, first year head coach. He's an alum of the school. He played here. He was one of the best baseball players in Emmanuel history. His son is on the team. He's going to be starting at second base today. He's a sophomore. Those are great stories. And those types of stories are everywhere. They're up and down the central section. We're going to be talking with Bullard softball coach Jamie Maxey in a second here. We're trying to get a hold of her, but once she comes on, we'll be talking with her. Her Knights are going to be taken on number two Central at 7 o'clock at Margie Wright Diamond, so hopefully we're going to be able to connect with her. But, yeah, those stories are everywhere. So two nights ago, Thursday night, Bakersfield Christian beat Cabrillo, but on Thursday night, Kingsburg defeated Dos Palos 7-5, and Coach Cranford, who's coming on the show after the on hour number two, is going to be joining us. His son was on the team, so Jimmy was he was actually the Central Section, the CIF Central Section Scholar Athlete of the Year. He's a four-part sport guy, offensive lineman on the football team, played basketball, got to watch him a few times, a Valley champion in basketball, and was on the baseball team. So those father-son relationships are, you know, those are very, very, very special. And Coach Cranford's got to experience winning a Valley championship with his son. Really, really cool. And I want to mention, too, the atmosphere Thursday night. Kingsburg, one school town. Dos Palos, one school town. There weren't many empty seats. Kingsburg people sat on their dugout side. Dos Palos sat on their dugout side. And it was a raucous atmosphere. There were signs, you know, the student sections were excited. It was a great experience. It was a great atmosphere. And that's what it's about. And when Kingsburg won, I was able to be close to the field. When Kingsburg won, they were able to celebrate on the field and then go to the right field terrace area, the Toyota Terrace family deck. We were able to celebrate, take pictures. So it was just an incredible, incredible experience for Kingsburg. And this is what it's all about. The thrill of playing on a field like this here at Valley Strong Ballpark. We're doing the show live. The thrill of you know, winning a Central Section championship is next to none. All right, we're still having a little bit of trouble connecting to Coach Maxey. We're going to take a small break. We're going to try to connect with here on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters. It is Championship Saturday here at Valley Strong Ballpark Live in Visalia, California, getting ready for three really good baseball games. It's really going to be some really good softball action today, too, at Margie Wright Diamond. Talking with Jamie Maxey. Coach, thanks for coming on the show. You guys are going to be playing number two Central. You won the D2 title last year and now can win a Division One championship. Thanks for joining me. Really appreciate you coming on.
Happy to be here. Thanks, Paul.
Yeah, absolutely. So how cool was it, though? I got to ask you first, how cool is it to see Madera win the D2 title last night?
That was wonderful. I'm so happy for Coach Shawlock, and she does a wonderful job with her program. And I congratulate them and just really happy for them. And it's great for the CMAC, our league.
Yeah, absolutely. And you guys, man, you guys have been battling for a long, long time. I want to ask you about just the respect factor that you have among softball coaches throughout the Central Valley. And when one coach could root for another coach, even though they're rivals in the league and have faced each other many times, how neat is that you guys can support each other like that?
Oh, it's a really special thing. There's so many really good coaches in the Valley, and coaches have been coaching for a long time. And Coach Shawbach was coaching when I played. She just does things right. She works hard. She's a really good coach. It's fun to support each other through the ups and downs because there's both in the coaching world.
Absolutely. What's the schedule? I just had Emmanuel Coach Steve Ramirez on, and they're getting ready to play at 12 o'clock. And, you know, talk about the schedule and – you know, eating wise and getting on the bus or however you get to game. So what's the rest of the day look like for you guys? Because you got to wait a long time to play your game. I believe it starts at 7 o'clock tonight. So what's the rest of the schedule look like with the girls?
Yeah, so the waiting part is nobody's favorite. But, you know, we'll hit a little bit, we'll get on a bus. They'll eat and probably eat again when we get on the bus. And then get out to Margie Wright Diamond and get ready to play. So it's one of those things that you want to just get to it and get to the game, but you got to wait and be patient and not get too worked up in the process, which isn't always easy.
I bet, man. I can't believe the anxiety level's got to be high with you guys. You just want to get out there and play softball. But you guys have had an incredible run through the playoffs. You went through three Bakersfield schools. You took care of Liberty, Centennial, and then Stockdale. What was clicking in those three games leading up to tonight's ball game?
Yeah, good question. I think just kind of do what we do. We're a team that, you know, we're scrappy. We're a unit. We don't necessarily have one just standout player. We work together. We're quick. We hustle. We do the little things. It's kind of our game. And so that's what we did. And yeah, we made our way through Bakersfield. That's for sure. So that I would say we just did our version of the game and it works for us.
Yeah. And every team throughout the year has a different personality. A lot of, you know, they take on the personality of the coach as well, but some teams are senior laden, some teams are young, and some teams are a little more goofy and kooky than others. Some teams are more serious. But what's the personality of this year's team?
Definitely when you said the word goofy, that kind of rang true for me. These girls are, they're fun, they're funny. They, whenever they're around each other, I think I'm going to have to relax them and tell them to have fun, and I just don't. They are always, they're goofy. They come up with little things, and they, you know, I try to kind of think through the day in the morning, kind of have a routine, and I say things I'm thankful for. And one of the things I almost always come back to is these girls just have fun. They have fun. They enjoy it. And at the end of the day, that's how it should be. And it's it really is a pleasure as a coach when they create the fun and they make the work fun.
Is that something that you've had to adapt as a coach, right? You're a star player in high school yourself, but, you know, was your demeanor more serious? Did you, you know, when you became a coach, you're like, man, sometimes, you know, it's a good thing to let these girls, that let their personality show. Was that a process for you, or did that come natural?
Yeah, I think so. You know, my personality is a little more quiet, a little more intense. And when I first started coaching, it was like, I kind of want to just be playing. It's more fun to play, you know. And then as it's gone on, you do really find that you let the personality of the team develop. And sometimes you got to rein it in and do some things. But for the most part, you want to enhance what they already bring. And these young ladies, they just have a spirit and an energy about them. And I get to be a part of that, and they help me have fun. I have a really great coaching staff. I get to coach with my sister and my brother-in-law and a former player of mine, Ariana Castillo. She was a standout player at Bullard, and a coach who's been with me for years and was a manager named Bobby Dye. So it's the coaching staff helps you in that fun energy and enthusiasm. I think it's just a good blend.
So last year, you guys took the Division II title. It's your first title in 19 years, I believe. You have a sparkling record this year, 25-4. Was there a specific moment this season where you thought, man, these girls, we can make a serious run in the playoffs? Was there a specific moment in the season that you could point to?
Good question. I don't know if there's a moment. You know, in some ways, these girls, they surprise me, and they do things that I don't always expect, so that's always fun. But their kind of competitive excellence is really been evident to me the most in practice, and that's where they gain ground, I think, a lot. And so if I had to pinpoint a moment, you know, there's been a couple specific practices where they just showed, you know what, we're gonna do things that other people aren't willing to do to get to a different level. And so that's where I've been really proud of them. Practice can be, you can just kind of go in and try to get it done, but they don't do that. They work hard. They compete against each other. And I think that's really where I've seen an edge with this team.
You guys played on Marjorie Wright Diamond last year. Is there a difference, Coach, talking with Coach Jamie Maxey of Bullard, between, you know, playing and practicing on your fields and the other fields in the CMAC, and then translating it to Margie Wright Diamond? Is there something, you know, that you're able to replicate anyway, or you're just like, hey girls, it's the same dimension, so to speak, at least the base paths wise, but are you able to replicate what tonight's game is going to look like in practice?
I don't think there's any way to replicate the intensity. You know, there's more people than you're used to seeing. It's an incredible venue. I don't know that you can replicate it, but what you can do is you can try to slow it down a little bit and help them understand, like you said, it's the same dimensions. We still do this game one pitch at a time. We don't look ahead. We don't, you know, think about just kind of trying to slow down the moment, because I think that's the tricky part when it gets big, then it sometimes it speeds up, and that's what you don't want. You want to just stay where you are. So we talk a lot about that. And at the end of the day, it's the same field. It feels different.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, absolutely. I think it does. And, you know, under the lights, I love playing under the lights. I love watching games under the lights. You probably like coaching under the lights. But it's definitely going to be a fun game tonight. Let's talk about your teams more specifically, some of the standout players. I don't want to give away too much, right? But, you know, with softball, you pretty much know who's going to start in their circle. But who are some of your players that have stood out to you, some of the girls that have really risen to the occasion, girls that you've leaned on this year?
Yeah, good, great question. Well, our pitcher who's done some good work for us, Emily Hinchy, she's just been a warrior. She's tough. She's just done a great job in her humble way, which is really fun to coach. Got an outfield that's really good. Our left fielder senior, her name's Haley Reeves. She's a slapper. She's quick. She's a great offensive player. We have another little slapper in center field who's done a really good job for us, named Gigi Martinez. So those kids kind of stand out as as one set of helped really move our team forward. But to be honest, it's a collective team effort, and there's 16 girls on the team, and every single one of them is a huge piece of the puzzle.
And then you're playing against a really solid Central team. They are the two seed. You're most likely facing Nishikawa, who's been their star pitcher. She's got 168 strikeouts against 20 walks, a really good ratio. What's the team's approach and your staff? What are you guys preaching to the players if you are going to go against Nishikawa, which I think you are?
Yeah, so, I mean, we know she's a great pitcher. She hits her spot. She's a little upspin. She's a good pitcher. So we just, you know, the offensively we stay in our plan. We do the things that we do well. We don't try to do too much. And we work together as an offense, and we don't try to take the game into one person's hands. We work as a team offensively, and that's been our plan kind of all year. So we're not going to change what we do. We're going to continue to complement each other offensively and do what we do. I know that's kind of a simple answer, but that's the truth.
Buller Knights are playing in the Central Section Championship game against Central High School. Talking with Jamie Maxey, head coach of Buller. All right, so there was, I mentioned that 19-year gap between playing in Central Section titles. What's the best way to frame just how tough it is to get to these games and how we just need to cherish these moments?
Yeah, it's good. I remember my very first year coaching, I won a championship. I thought it was easy. This happened every year. I thought it was a great coach. And then you just realize, you know, it's not easy. I happen to have a pitcher who averaged 2 strikeouts an inning that year, so that helped a little bit. But, yeah, it's incredibly challenging. You know, the postseason is like no other, and that's what makes it really fun. And you can be a great team, and as we've seen, number one seeds still make it to the championship game all the time. And that's what's really fun about the postseason. But, It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work all year long to get to the point where you want to be in the end. And you know, it also takes luck. It takes, it takes a little faith, a little courage, all the ingredients coming together to make it happen in the end. It's no easy task to get there.
Oh, I love what you said. You're like, hey, first year coach, went to the championship game. Hey, this is easy. We're going to do it every year. And yeah, it's definitely a grind. Cherish all these moments. I mentioned that right out of college, I coached baseball at Emmanuel. I assisted with Tim Thiessen. Right out of college, I'm the first base coach, and we win a Valley Championship. And I thought the same thing. I'm like, man, I'm 25 years old. I'm getting a ring here. This is pretty easy. But, these moments can be few and far between for sure. But what, Coach Max, we got a couple minutes here. But what's the most exciting softball game that you've ever played or coached in?
Oh, wow. Well, as a player, I would say, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a part of the 98 National Championship at Fresno State, which was amazing. So that would be as a player. As a coach, you know, that the last year's Valley Championship game was pretty special and really fun. So I would mark that as maybe one of the highlights. There's been a lot, but that one was very special and wonderful. Young ladies who surprised a lot of people along the way, and so it was a fun. Yeah, we were the 7th seed, I think, last year. We took down the 1 seed in that game, so that was great. So I would say that's a highlight for sure.
Got a couple more questions here, Coach. And I know that Jenny Eller was a special player. The field at Bullard was recently dedicated to your former teammate. Diagnosed with leukemia in 92, senior year, passed away. But what does it mean to you and the program to have that field named after her?
It's really, really something that we hold dear to all of us, the team, and myself in particular, because she was a friend of mine. And her family's, her parents have been a part of the program since she passed. And it's been a wonderful thing. They're dear friends. And to have her legacy and really who she was is the embodiment of who we want these young ladies to be. She's filled with incredible faith. She loved to serve her community. She was fun. She was smart. She was just an enthusiastic, energetic person. And I think when I think back to her and the way she fought through adversity in her life, kind of getting something unexpected, and the way she rose and turned it into something amazing. That's exactly what I want for these young ladies that I have the opportunity to coach.
To see her name right there on the softball field. I know your girls touch the nameplate there before they enter the field. Just a great story. Coach, I want to end with this. Again, Bullard's playing Central tonight at Margie Wright Diamond. Describe what it means to you and the Bullard softball program to bring home a Division I title.
That'd be really special. I mean, of course, that's what you play for, and we would love it. If it happens, great, and if it doesn't, we're still the same people, and I still think the world of my team. And so, of course, it'd be wonderful for the board, for the community, for the team, for the families, and I would love to see that happen. So it'd be awesome. So we'll just do it one pitch at a time.
One pitch at a time for sure. Coach Maxey, thanks for coming on. You're a Bullard through and through. You're a PE teacher there. You're synonymous with Bullard softball. So really appreciate you coming on the show tonight. Good luck tonight. And, go Knights, right?
That's right. Go Knights. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right. That was Coach Jamie Maxey Bullard. Coming up after the break, we're talking with Kingsburg baseball coach Jim Cranford. His Vikings won the D3 title on Thursday night. Just a great game, great atmosphere at Valley Strong Ballpark on 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts no.
Welcome to hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN. Normally I do my show live at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors. You guys know where it is on Blackstone Avenue in between Sierra and Herndon. Make sure you guys go check that out. Beautiful day. Absolute gorgeous day. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating as well. Right now it's 71 degrees, a high of 87 degrees. So gorgeous, gorgeous. Couldn't ask for better weather, I think, for a Central section championship Saturday. We're talking with Jim Cranford right now. He's the baseball coach at Kingsburg. Thursday night defeated Dos Palace here at the Valley Strong Ballpark to capture the D3 title, first section title since 2003. Right here, he's a fan of high school baseball. He's going to be checking out the Liberty Madera and Emmanuel game. So he's up here with me live in person. Brought me a Kingsburg hat. Thanks, Coach, for bringing that to me, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, on behalf of Kingsburg, thanks for having me on the show.
You bet. All right, so looking out of this ballpark, first of all, gorgeous. Right, maintenance crew's doing a phenomenal job. Everything's chalked up, padded down. You got some memories yourself. I mean, not only Thursday winning a Central Section Championship on this field, but you're telling me off air that you played on this field. Tell me about that.
Yeah, back in 81, 82, when the Oaks used to come to town when they were an affiliate of the Twins, we would always, Coach Holt would set up a three-game series so they could kind of get acclimatized to the area when we were at COS. And the first year I was here, we played against a team that had Puckett and Herbeck on it, and turned out a lot better for them than it did us. But it was a good experience, great experience.
How big did Herbeck look?
He was a big man.
He was big old man. Lefty.
He was even bigger when he was hitting a ball over the batter's eye in center field. So, but Puckett was a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal. He made everything look easy.
And I bet, Herbeck, heck, a great MLB career, obviously Kirby Puckett as well. But I bet Herbeck made this field look small. Right, there's certain players that you hit the ball, you're like, what the freak?
Yeah, he tore up the A-ball league that year, and they brought him up at the All-Star break here, and, it went on to hit a home run in his first at bat, and stuff like that. He was phenomenal. Those guys are really, really good players.
We're going to talk about, some of the past things that you've been able to – some of the past coaches that you've played for in the second here, but let's start talking about Thursday's game and this great Kingsburg team that you had. Dos Palace – they're a good team. I mentioned in my opener how, hey, you see Dos Palace is winning games. You see they're putting up a lot of runs. If you don't see them in person, you don't know. You look at the stats, you're like, man, this dude's got 10 home runs, right? You don't really believe it until you see it. Hey, I saw it with my own eyes. And Dos Palace has some hitters. They're aggressive. You're able to beat them 7-5. They jumped out on you early. Talk about that game and the game plan going in and, being aggressive. They were aggressive as well. I mean, you guys just played Kingsburg baseball, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, our kids were pretty loose. We wanted to get ahead early, and kind of take their fans out of the game. And We had a little rocky first inning, a little nerves, and then we got after it and started swinging the bat. I think that left-hander that threw against us is the 17th or 18th one we've seen this year. So we see a lot of left-handers, so the approach is stay in the middle of the field, hit the ball the other way, and we got to put the ball in play. We can't have strikeouts. So I think our kids executed, did a really, really good job.
So you mentioned that they got those two in the first off your young freshman pitcher, Jensen Hirschkorn, but you guys bounced back and – hey, another Hirschkorn, one of the junior twins, Holden, leads off the game with a homer. Lefty on lefty, poked it down the line. You know, was there a little bit of like, hey, they punched us in the mouth early, we're going to come back? Did it just really loosen up your team seeing that ball go over the fence?
Yeah, I think it got our fans into it, got our kids back into it, loosened us up, you know, and that we knew, you know, we our strength is swinging a bat. I mean, you know, our pitching is good and our defense is good, but the kids hit. I mean, and that's the way it's kind of gone all year. When we swing the bat, we do a good job. You know, we put runs on the board, and our lineup's pretty tough from 1 through 9. So it's pretty tough. There's not really anybody you can pitch around. There's a lot of protection for the kids, and we got some really good players.
You do.
And really good kids.
They're great kids. I was able to watch a couple games this year. But, you know, these kids have played together for a long time growing up, and, you know, they've won some national tournaments when they were younger as well. So these kids definitely know how to play baseball. They know pressure situations as well. Talk about some of the kids in that game. Again, you guys won 7-5. Dos Palos was able to chip away. But talk about some of the kids that really performed in that game.
Well, Jensen's ball was running so much, and he had trouble finding the zone. But, he settled down there, and he gave us 4 strong innings. And Ethan Salazar came in and did a great job on the mound. And that's kind of been his role all year. You know, you look, and we were kind of going through the stats, he leads our team in appearances, and he gets in those situations where he's got those tough innings to throw and, you know, leads the team in saves. So he did a really, really good job. I thought Gavin Innes had a great game. Holden leading off with a home run, that was phenomenal. Preston did a good job. I mean, I just think it was a complete team effort, you know. I mean, that's kind of been the way it is, you know. Top lineup struggles, bottom picks it up. Bottom struggles, top picks it up. Top bottom struggle, the middle, you know, does a good job. So.
And you got a couple Ethans. You mentioned Salazar on the mound. I'm going to get to him in a second. But your outfield defense is pretty good. They could chase down anything that's in the gap. And this is a big ballpark that we're looking at here at Valley Strong Ballpark. Ethan Winslow made a. You know, I mentioned Dos Palos got that dude. You walk. His name escapes me. I didn't write him down. But they're
three third hitters. Baseman pitcher. He's a phenomenal hitter.
Yeah, right. And he laced 3 baseballs in that game. It's just like ropes. I've seen a lot of hitters the last few years, and that kid is, I mean, he's a real deal. Ethan Winslow, center fielder, that was a big play. Chased down. I mean, he smoked one. If that ball gets by him, it's probably a triple. I think there was a runner on second base, but he chased down that ball in center field like it was nothing.
Well, you talked about the size of the ballpark. This ballpark's only about 12 feet deeper in center field than our ballpark. So we play in a big ballpark. So our kids are kind of used to it, and I thought that was going to kind of be an advantage for us, because when you don't play in a big one, you kind of don't know where to play. So if you play shallow, you get balls hit over your head. If you play deep, balls fall in front of you. So our kids do a pretty good job, you know, and they play in a big ballpark. They're used to it. So I don't think the stage was too overwhelming for them, you know, when they saw it, you know. And we talked about it the day before. It's actually, our ballpark is deeper down the lines than it is here. So we've got 10 more feet on it. So,
and you had a pretty darn good semifinal game. Speaking of your ballpark, you mentioned Ethan Winslow. Have you ever been a part of, I know it's 7 innings in high school, an hour and 8 minute one hit shutout by Ethan Winslow? Hour and 8 minutes? In the world?
Both pitchers did a great job. It was the bottom of the 6th. I looked up and it was 7:50, and we started at 7. So, I mean, 2 good teams playing, executing, catching and throwing, attacking the zone. Umpire had a good zone, big one. It was consistent. So, kids, you know, I mean, it was a great ball game. We win 1-0. Bodie hits one in the first inning, hits the top of the fence, then comes up in the third, and then hits one out. And it held up. You know, our kids did a good job. So,
are you so regional playoffs? You guys fully expecting to get a high seed? What do you know about that? Obviously, they could put you in the NorCal, SoCal. What do you know about that right now?
Very little. I talked to Matt Zazzino the other day. First of all, I talked to our kids last night and asked them if they wanted to go, and they all, you know, said, yeah, we want to go. And I said, are we going just to go, or are we going to win? And they said, we're going to win. So talking to Matt, they can put us anywhere. We could be in Division I. We could be in Division V. You know, it's just kind of up to them. So just have to wait and see. They said we'd find out Sunday afternoon about 12:30 to 2, and, you know, we're going to practice 2 o'clock on Monday, and – and go where they tell us or stay at home. It's up to them.
Well, I like that, right? Talking to Coach Jim Cranford at Kingsbury High. I love it. Yeah, we're not going just to go. We're going to win the whole darn thing. Very talented team. Very talented team. Coach, you've been coaching for a long time. When you got a talented team, how are you able to, you know, balance molding them into what the ball team and the ball players that you want them, and to just letting their personalities shine? Like, is that a difficult process you and your staff go through, or was it, you know, kind of easy with this group of kids?
Number one, they never give you a reason why, you know, you have to get after them other than, you know, make some mistakes and stuff. But we have one set of rules, and they're consistent for everybody. And that's the way, you know, that's just the way we operate. The kids know their standards, expectations, when they have to be there, when they're not. You know, I mean, it's just they're dialed in. They want to be there. And they're an easy group to coach. You just got to keep them focused and motivated. We kind of started changing the way we were practicing about 6 weeks ago. Practice started to drag a little bit, so Monday was our fix-it day. If we played a Wednesday, Friday, Tuesday, nine-inning inter-squad, BP, play Wednesday, Thursday, nine-inning inter-squad, BP, Friday play, Saturday, optional hitting, you know, and stuff like that. And so most of all of our stuff, I think we started to play better because it became game-like in practice. You know, all our ground balls are live, fly balls are live. We're trying to take our swings from the inter-squads to the games. And the kids have fun. They enjoy being in there. And we divide the teams up evenly. There's different teams every time we play. If we have a one-game week, then our pitchers will throw one of the inner squads, you know, and then that's their bullpen work for the week. And I think kids like it. They enjoy it, you know. And I'm a creature of habit. I'm not there to entertain kids. It's baseball's a repetitive game. We have certain things that we do and we work on. But the nice thing about doing it in an inner squad is if we do – not execute a play or a situation, we fix it there and then we're on the run. So we kind of use a football philosophy, you know, we're fixing it on the fly and we're moving, and that's how we get our conditioning. And we have a rule: you're on the field in 9 seconds, you're off the field in 9 seconds. So either pay me during the inter squad or you can pay me afterwards. It's up to you. And so our kids buy into that, you know, and you know, we don't have any sliding or stealing and stuff like that, but it's a good situation. The kids have fun.
Where did that coaching philosophy come from? You know, you've played for some incredible coaches. You mentioned Bert Holt at COS, Pete Biden, Bob Bennett, obviously, you know, your time at Fresno State. But, you know, what did you learn from those guys, and where does your coaching philosophy come from?
Well, it started with Alan Cropsey in Selma. He was a legend, you know. And first thing I learned is you have to be disciplined in your life, on the field, everything you do. You've got to have a focus. And, you know, when we go to the field, we're out there for 2.5 hours, and we're on the field, it's work. We're off the field after practice, before, it can be fun. But when we're on the field, we work, and you get your work done. That's what you have to do. And, you know, I was lucky enough. I worked out at the Y Camp, baseball camp in Kalinga for 7 or 8 years out there. And my first 3 years, my job was to carry Pete Biden's fungo. And I learned a lot from Pete just listening to him. And then when we would travel on road trips, always make sure I'd sit close enough to hear the stories and stuff. And I got selected to be one of the guys that got to pick his almonds. And he got a little ranch out there in Clovis. And it wasn't with a mechanical shaker or anything. It was a tarp, a big mallet, climbed a tree, you know. And Pete would come out with his dog Spitz and give us water and then go back in. And, you know, but it was all just baseball. You know, Darren Holt and I would do it. Robbie Giel, some guys that were at COS together. And it was a great experience, you know. And Bert was, you know, just one of those kind of guys that, there's a field, this is what we're going to do, the best play, and it's up to you. You make the decision, you know. And another contributing factor in that was Mrs. Holt, Bert's wife. She was always around the field. She was our baseball mom, took care of us, you know, when we had trouble. And so it was just a great situation. Then I got to Fresno State and played for Coach Bennett and Coach Rupsich and Keith Snyder and Tim Payton. So, you know, I've been lucky enough to deal with a lot of good baseball guys. I think at one time Pete had coached like 90% of the guys that were coaching in Division I. So, I mean, so, you know, you're not learning from a coach, you're learning from a legend. So those, I was lucky.
Yeah, those early days in the 80s, right? You know, those coaches, you know, Craig Funk and, you know, Tim Thiessen, you know, was a freshman, I believe, when you're late in your career at Fresno State. But talk about some of those, that crop of kid, you know, crop of kids back then, but now just stay with baseball and coach and just baseball icons in the Valley.
I coached Brad Fonts, and I wish them luck tonight. You know, he was a young kid for us, had phenomenal talent. Ended up transferring to McLean and going on, with the Rangers organization. And I've coached a lot of guys during the game involved in coaching. Everybody on my staff has either played before me in either football or baseball. And so, I mean, it's fun to see kids go on and carry on the tradition and pass out, you know, all the knowledge that they have and stuff. I mean, baseball's kind of changing with this travel ball stuff. And, you know, you get kids that go and they do these travel ball deals. And don't get me wrong, some are really good and some are probably more deterrent to what we have to deal with, you know, because there is no immediate gratification. You have to work in this game, and it's probably the hardest game to play because you fail so many times. You have to have patience, you know. It teaches you humility. One day you're 4-for-4, and the next day, you know, you got 4 strikeouts. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's an ever-changing game, and they're doing a lot of things now in the big leagues. They're messing with the game, and I don't know. It's just different.
I agree. It is different, and, you know, your team is a reflection of you, and they played with, you know, the game the right way. And I had Holden and Houston on my show, and what'd you tell them? You guys better be there early, right? That's the expectation. They're there first string sports, and yeah, the values and that you instill in your program and in your students there at Kingsburg High is it's very, very evident. I want to ask you too, Coach. We got about another minute or two. You know, you're able to coach your son this year. You're able to celebrate, you know, on the field a little bit, but out there in right field, celebrate with you and your son and your family there. What did that mean to you to be able to win, to be able to coach your son, first of all, but win a Central Section Championship?
Well, it's awesome for the community. It's awesome for our kids because, you know, I mean, they started in December. I mean, it was kind of a unique year because we have so many kids that play football. So we had about 10 kids out for fall ball playing catch. Football's over. Now we got 60 kids out there. And so we did something different this year. We went through Christmas break because we had to. We had to get arms in shape because we had a kind of demanding early season with a trip that we were going to the coast that got canceled. But coaching Jimmy was awesome. You know, I mean, probably the best decision we ever made in our lives was bringing him to Kingsburg High School. He's flourished. Unfortunately, he's not going to play baseball at the next level. He's going to play football. You know, he's 6'3", about 280. So
about 280. I got a funny story about that, but go ahead and talk about that.
Anyway, he's going to throw a shot and discus, and yeah. He's going to go down to COS, and he really wants to play at the next level with football. And he got a lot of D2 offers, and he looked at me and he says, "I want to play at the D1 level." And I said, "You got to go prove yourself, son." And so he's going to do it, you know. And I think he'll flourish. He's good in the classroom. You know, he's a valedictorian. He's a 4.0 kid, and he's never given us a minute's trouble, and he's well-liked by his peers and teachers. He's just a good kid, man. He's really dialed in. His grandparents did a good job with him. I mean, they did a good job raising him, so.
He is a good kid. He's got He's got that beard, though, man. Kind of like you.
He looks like he's about 30.
He's got the long hair. We're able to watch him in the basketball championships as well. But the funny story really quick before we wrap things up is we were able to broadcast the Emmanuel and Kingsburg basketball game. And your son was tearing it up, grabbing all kinds of rebounds. We kept mentioning, man, you're on the roster, 6'3", 250. Your wife comes in between her breaks, says, "No, this is wrong. He's 280.
Yeah.
She got to let me know."
Yeah, he has no trouble eating a couple 4x4s and a couple orders of cheese fries. And he kind of keeps in and out in business. You know, he gets after it. So,
absolutely. So, Coach Cranford, congratulations on the great year. It's been fun to get to know you over the last year. And you know, your baseball team, they did what they were set out to accomplish. You know, they can compete with anybody, and you guys proved it by beating Clovis and Clovis West this year. You know, that game against Dallas Palace was a really good game. But congratulations. Thanks for the hat.
Enjoy
the rest of the day.
I'd like to say thank you to our kids for their commitment. You know, our motto is you're done when you've accomplished everything you set out to. So I don't think we're done yet. So
all right,
thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
You bet. Appreciate you. We're going to be bringing on Coach Fonts right now after the break on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for tuning in. I'm your host, Paul Meaders, here on 1430 ESPN. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. 2 hours of pure high school talk live here at Valley Strong Ballpark in Visalia, California. Watching Emmanuel right now take in and out. They're going to be taking on the number one seeded Liberty Madera. We're going to be ringing that call. Gabe Camarillo and I just had a really good conversation with Coach Cranford at Kingsburg High. We're going to be ringing on Brad Fonts, head coach of Buchanan High, gunning for the school's 8th D1 Central Section title. Second to Coach Fonts' career at Buchanan. They'll take on the number 9 seed Centennial here at 7:30. Coach Fonts, what's going on today?
Paul, how are you, bud?
I'm doing great. Hey, before we get going here, I got somebody who wants to say hi right now.
You didn't tell me I was coming on after Cranny.
Well, here we go. I know. Here we go. Check this out.
This is a blast from the past. How you doing, Bradley?
Coach Cranford, how are you, bud?
I'm well, man. I'm just on here to wish you luck for tonight. Go get those guys.
I appreciate it. Congratulations. All the run you guys had this year.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
So, yeah, so we've got a couple stories here, right? He said Coach Cranford said that he was able to coach you at Selma High. True story?
Absolutely. Great coach, great man, great family. Just an absolute baseball guy. I mean, there's not a better one around.
That's awesome. That's awesome to hear. So, yeah, you know, Coach Cranford's done an incredible job with this Kingsburg ball club. You've done a great job with the Buchanan team this year. Well, here you go. You guys find yourself in a Central Section championship game. It's always good to wake up on a Saturday and know that you can make history again.
Yeah, we've done a pretty good job. The guys have done very well coming together as a team and putting all the little things together and taking care of the details. And they've set themselves up for a great opportunity to win a section final.
And that's what Coach Cranford was talking about, you know, coming out of the, I guess we could call it old school, the early 80s, late 70s, and that style of baseball of, man, it's work out there, right? When you're in between the lines, it's work time. Pay attention to the small details. Leave it all on the field. You know, how does that mentality translate to big games, right? When you got the kids mentally prepared and physically prepared as well. How well does that translate to these big type games?
I think over the course of a year, you know, you take care of all that stuff and you're working for that end goal to be playing good baseball at the right time at the end of the year. And I think at this point, you know, the hay's in the barn, the kids have put the work in, and now they're just enjoying going out and competing.
And we know all too well, it's certainly not easy to make it to this championship games. There's tons of uber-talented teams that don't even make it. A lot of number one seeds fall, number two seeds. But you guys have come all the way as a number two seed. And what specific ways do you think this team has gelled, especially in the playoffs?
I think, number one, you got to try and stay healthy. That's the big thing. Over the course of the year, you know, there's a lot of things, guys that are in the lineup every day that, you know, we have to manage legs, and especially with 3 games a week, you don't have a lot of downtime. So you got to manage legs and arms and try and keep the guys healthy. And I think just the fact that we kind of solidified our lineup and there weren't a lot of changes down the stretch, the guys were able to play together and practice together in specific positions and, you know, everyone pulling on the same end of the rope, and our guys that aren't in the lineup helping in practice and pushing our guys that are, and just making everybody better.
Talking with Brad Fonts, the head baseball coach at Buchanan. You know, first 2 games of playoffs, your pitchers went complete games, shutouts. They did a phenomenal job. And then you're taking on Stockdale, the defending champs, the 3 seed at home. What an incredible game. You guys jumped out to a 6-0 lead. Sure enough, Stockdale comes back and ties it. You guys make it to extra innings, win it in the bottom of the ninth. Tyler O'Toole, you get a sophomore that comes in and clutches up, not only pitched 4 innings for you in relief, probably his longest outing of the year, if I'm not mistaken. You could correct me on that, but comes up with the clutch hit to win the game in the bottom of the ninth, bases loaded single. I mean, it takes moments like those to get to this championship game. A little bit of luck, but a lot of clutch hitting and pitching.
Absolutely, the luck piece. I mean, the ball's got to bounce your way. There's no doubt about that. And then as far as Tyler, yeah, he's, you know, closed a few games for us late in the year, and it would be 1-2 innings. You know, after the second, I asked him how he's doing. After the third, I asked him the same thing, and he said he's got one more. So, you know, he's very competitive, and we trust him to to toe the rubber and attack the strike. Try and push your run across.
Let's talk about this Centennial team that you're playing tonight here at Valley Strong Ballpark. They've made quite an impressive run, haven't they? They beat all on the road. They beat, as a 9 seed, they beat number 8 Madera, number 1 Bullard, and number 4 Redwood, beating potential MLB draft pick Joey Voltschko. What's impressed you about that squad and how they've made it to the championship game?
Well, first of all, to be able to do all that on the road, you know, day after day, and, you know, beating those teams tells you that they're a really scrappy ball club, and, you know, they play hard and they're a tight team.
Might have lost Coach there, talking with Coach Brad Fonts. A little bit of a...
Yeah, I got you.
There we go. I got you. Okay. Yeah, talking about Centennial and the great run that they've made to the championship game tonight.
Yeah, I, to be able to do that and to beat those teams on the road, you know, trip after trip, tells you they're a really scrappy team, and they play hard, and they're a bunch of tight guys that don't want to win.
Is it a secret what the pitching rotation is going to be tonight? Can you reveal that to us, or we're going to wait till what we see tonight here at Valley Strong Ballpark?
No, we're going to run Colton O'Toole out there and let Colton do his thing. You know, ultra competitor and just gets after it and attacks the strike zone. And after that, everybody's on the board. You know, the Tuesday Saturday thing allows everybody to be able to be on the board to pitch. And, you know, the rest of the guys are ready to go if Colton needs some help towards the end of the game.
How would you describe this year's ball club? You've had teams in the past that have been, you know, they can match the ball, put it out of the ballpark. Teams that are just pitching dominant, right? You just throw a couple guys out there, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, or whatever the schedule might be, and you know what you're going to get. This year's team's a little bit different. You got a mix of sophomores, underclassmen, and a few seniors sprinkled in there. You know, what is the general makeup of this team?
I think the big thing is, you know, we talk about finding a way to win quite a bit, and whether it's the inside game or playing great defense or pitchers making pitches, or hitting the ball out of the park, or just stringing hits together. You know, this year's ball club has been a little bit different. It's been kind of all of those things at different times. Where in the past, you know, not as much action, and, you know, we'd sit back and hunt the double or hunt a guy to pop one out over the fence. And this year's club has been more diverse in how they go about it, and it's helped us adjust to different situations in games and to be able to execute when we needed to execute.
We're here at Valley Strong Ballpark, sitting next to Coach Cranford of Kingsburg, talking with Coach Brad Fonts of Buchanan, looking out here at this beautiful, beautiful stadium. You've been here before. You know what it's like. You know the dimensions. Does that play at all? You know, Coach Cranford's talking about, hey, our ballpark plays pretty similar. Our ballpark's pretty big, and your ballpark's pretty big as well. Is that any part of the discussions when you're talking to these guys about the dimensions of the park and you know, some of the obstacles that may be a little bit different?
No, I mean, it's 90 feet, it's 60 feet, 6 inches, and the only thing we do is we'll do a little walkthrough and get with our infielders and our outfielders and go over straight up, righty straight up, lefty straight up, and kind of give them a bearing based off of landmark compared to where we line up, you know, different parts. But it's all the same. The outfielder's got to go get it. Infielder's got to interrupt the ball and throw it across the guys in that. It's a baseball field.
Absolutely. You're not doing the Hoosiers thing where you're going out and marking. Guys, yeah, it is. It is 90 feet to the bases and all that. So, Coach Fonts, thanks for joining. You've been a friend of the show. And, you know, I know I could talk to you at any time. That goes a long way with me, and I really appreciate you throughout the season. And I'll definitely see you tonight, and good luck.
I appreciate it. Hey, real quick, I don't know if Cranny told you the story, but he's a hell of a football coach too, and he used to like to actually get in down on the line and actually scrimmage during football. And you can ask him how that went for him.
Well, I can ask him because he's still right here, man. He's still sitting next to me. We just threw a headset on him.
I was a little younger then, Brad. You know how it goes. Didn't turn out too well.
I'm sure you
11 screws in the right ankle didn't turn out too well. So But, you know, when you're 21 or 22, you're not real smart. So I learned the hard way. Hey, good luck tonight, man.
Absolutely.
Hey, good
Thanks,
luck.
Granny.
Hey,
appreciate it, bud.
Give the best to your mom and dad, too, huh, Brian?
Absolutely.
All right,
Absolutely.
Brother. We'll see you.
Take care.
All right, Brad. Yeah. We'll see you soon. Let's go to Brad Fonts. Yeah, you bet. Buchanan High, they're taking on Centennial tonight at 7:30. We come back after the break. Gabe Camarillo's coming on. We're going to roll. We're going to transition right into broadcasting. Emmanuel Liberty for the D4 Valley Championship, the Central Section Championship here at Valley Strong Ballpark on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. This is the Central Valley Sports Report. I've been your host, Paul Metters. You can follow me on the Twitter machine, at Paul Metters, PaulMeadors. And I love that. Coach Cranford from Kingsburg is able to come up here and join me in the booth here at Valley Strong Ballpark. Coach Fonts, and Coach Fonts came after me. I didn't know that. I did not know that until I talked to Coach Cranford and was able to keep him on and able to swap a couple things and pleasantries. That's awesome, man. We talk about it all the time, just – the bond that the Central Valley has, the coaching fraternities. It's awesome. It's one of the things I love about the Central Valley. And we're able to witness right here between Coach Fonts and Coach Cranford. Bring on Gabe Camarillo. Gabe and I are going to be bringing you the Emmanuel and Liberty game at 12 o'clock. 12 o'clock sharp. So when we come back from break, 12 o'clock first pitch is going to happen. So we're going to preview this game, then Buchanan and Centennial a little bit. But, Gabe, the weather is beautiful. Couldn't have dialed up a more perfect situation for the games today. The field is incredible shape. When you walked in, like, what did you take in? I mean, how awesome
is
this
atmosphere?
It's
a big-time atmosphere for two big-time teams that are going to be competing in a couple minutes for a Division IV championship. It's really cool how it's back here at Rawhide Ballpark. I know last year they split it between Pete Biden Field and this beautiful destination. I like it better here, to be honest. And that might be a hot take for some people listening, but I like it better at this venue because it's the perfect mix between high school and the bigs, right? I mean, it really is minor league baseball. At Peabody Field, I feel like it's too spacious. It's hard to fill those stands. Even when you have 2,000 people strong, there's still some empty red seats at Peabody Field, and I saw that on Thursday night, but a great crowd Thursday regardless. I'm thinking this is the perfect high school baseball championship site. You think about how many championships have been won here. You've seen so many of these great games, and I think we're going to see another one here at noon between a red-hot Liberty team and an Emmanuel team that might be a team of destiny given how they've won their last couple games, especially the one that you saw against their rival Reedley in the semifinal. Talk about waiting to the last minute to get it done.
No, that was a great game, and we're going to have a great game. Talk about the seating here. I mentioned it in my opener. The seats are right up, what would you say, 15, I don't know, let's say 20 feet.
I'll tell you this, there's no minor league stadium like this one in the country because they're not allowed to be this small. They're not allowed to be this close to the action. It was built in the 1940s. It's been kind of grandfathered in. So, yeah, I mean, what you're looking at here in Visalia, if you're here in the game or if you want to come to the game, you'll see something that you don't really see anywhere else in the country.
Oh, I love this atmosphere. And I've come to, I don't know, I'm going to say about six or seven of the Central Section Championships here at, back then, a lot of people still call it Rawhide, right? That's why we know it, Rawhide Valley Strong Ballpark now. But 2015, I was able to cover the Buchanan and Clovis game for the Clovis Roundup. And I know, Gabe, you wrote for the Clovis Roundup as well. And, it was a big game, right? Tons of D1 guys in that one. Fresno B was hyping it up. This place was absolutely packed, and I was right for the Clovis Roundup, and I have a press pass, right? And actually my dad made it, so it was a press pass, had my picture, said Clovis Roundup, right? It was legit. And when you get to know people around the Central Section, they know you, so they let you in games, right? Mm-hmm. It's usually not a big deal, but back then Rawhide was a little bit different, right? So you didn't know if they were going to let you in. I didn't have that CIF pass that we have now that we're able to get into games from media. And I needed to bring in a photographer, and my regular guy couldn't come. So my good friend, who's our eighth grade teacher there in Traver, his wife has a photography business, and he knows his way around the cameras as well. So I'm like, hey, I'll pay you $50. Let's go to Rawhide. You could shoot some action shots, and we'll put it in the paper, and it will work really, really well. We're like, oh, what about a press pass? This is like a day before the game. What about a press pass? Oh, shoot. I don't know. Maybe we could. Well, you want to be on the field. I don't want to pay the $12 to get into the game. So what Brandon did, Brandon Pettit is his name. He went online, and he went to, I don't know, presspassesmarkup.com or something, and he there were a couple things that he could do to print out his own press pass. So there are little questionnaires that they had there, and one of the questionnaires was, do you want an official looking barcode on your press pass? And he clicked yes.
As opposed to a regular looking barcode?
Correct.
I mean, what makes a barcode look official?
Well, I got a picture of it right here, right here, Gabe. So I brought it out. Obviously, you guys can't see what we're doing on the radio. But so he was able to print out a media press pass. It said it had his name on it. And it says the holder of this pass is an independent contractor and freelance photographer covering newsworthy events, conferences, sports events, and special events. And then he put an ID number.
How many press passes have a paragraph on them?
Yeah, so there it is right there. So there's a paragraph on this press pass. But the ID number he used was like his wife's birthday and then like the day they got married. So it's just this made-up ID number. And you can see right there the barcode. And it says photographer. We took a picture at school. Boom, printed it out, laminated it. We're like, oh, my gosh, is this thing really going to work? So we get to the front gate, and we're like, Act like we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's just go.
That's the best way to
do it. So we walk in just like the pros do, and we got in no problem. The funny part is we got on the field. So he's hobnobbing with the other photographers, right?
Right.
So we got on the field. They had the Rawhide back then. They had their brass. They had their security guys. And he overheard them saying, hey, guys, down here with the media and the press, you got to make sure that they have an official press pass like this guy right here. And he pointed to Brandon Pettit. Like this official, like this guy right
here. I think it was the part where he listed his accolades on the press pass. Will you read it again for us?
Well, it says, you know, the independent contractor, freelance photographer covering newsworthy events, conferences, sporting events, and special events.
Yeah, that sounds official to me.
So the barcode will crack me up, right? It's like, who the heck scanned
I like the numbers he chose. Pass? What numbers did he choose for his...
I don't give like his wife's birthday. SG, you know, SG, the name.
Of all the things.
1561P. So right. There it is. But who the heck is going to scan a barcode at a press pass?
No kidding.
Right? Who has a scanner? Like, if you did, when you would come up, like, oh, man.
That should have been the first, like, telltale sign. Like, wait a minute. How many press passes do we see have a barcode?
Yeah. Does it come ring up as a pepperoni pizza, you know, from the supermarket? I mean, what? So, anyway, that's – when we think about this stadium, we always come back to that. Again, that was 2015. We just have the biggest laugh about that, especially part of, like, hey, guys, you got to look for
the look at this guy
that you printed out on the stinking internet and laminated.
Makes my press pass look insignificant compared to that one.
And it's still in his drawer at school. We bust that thing out every once in a while. So
maybe you can get it to an MLB game with that one. I don't know.
I don't know. You never know. Maybe they could scan that barcode. All right. So, Gabe, again, looking out at this stadium, we got there's the coaches talking. Coach Steve Ramirez talking from Emmanuel, talking with the umpires right now. You know, let's start with Liberty. They've had an incredible, incredible season. 25-6, 13-1 overall. They've been the number one rated team in Division IV all year, right?
Yeah.
And they were based D5, so they can only go up one division. Let's talk about them. What stands out to Liberty right now? You know, we know they got a powerful team, some really good pitching, but what stands out to them right now?
They're young and they're good. I mean, they only have two seniors that are starters, so expect most of this lineup to come back next year. This is a lineup that averages about 9 runs a game. Coach Derek Kuhn has done it the right way. He's built a program. This is his fourth year there. He's really galvanized the community, rallied them around the baseball team, and you can tell when you go to the home games. I have yet to go out to a Ranchos game, but talking to some of the parents, talking to some of the fans, they love their team. They always show up. And so I feel like this could be the next milestone for Liberty Madera baseball. Next year, this team's going to be even better when you think about them returning 7 starters in the lineup. The guy that's going on the mound for them, Dylan Whiteman, he's making his 14th start today. He's a senior, so this is going to be important for him to end his high school career on a high note. But when I look at Liberty, I look at a team that is very dominant offensively, a powerhouse, deep Division IV-wise. I think this could be a Division IV title for them if they're able to hold off a good Emmanuel team, and maybe we'll see them in Division III next year. I think last year, you saw them lose in the semis. They got shut out by a pretty good pitcher you might have heard of. He's now at third base for Fresno State, Murph Gray. Madera South, the eventual D4 champions last year, end of Liberty season. I think you saw them take that step this year. They played with the poise. They played as they want to be the Division IV champions this year. So I think it makes sense next year for them to be in Division III. But, hey, They're at 800 students. I mean, do we really think they should be in Division III? They should probably stay in Division IV and just keep racking up these titles.
Well, they had three Central Section championships in baseball, mm-hmm. all in Division V. So, they are Division IV, Division V school to me. Yeah, they should not go up. They got, about 800 kids in their, their school. You mentioned Whiteman, so he's starting today. Jose Gonzalez and I were able to watch him last year when they played Madera South and Murph Gray. Whiteman's a good pitcher. He's lefty. He controls the game. He's got a good pickoff move, a sneaky good curveball. So yeah, so that's that's gonna be a tall task for Emmanuel to face a pitcher of Whiteman's caliber. Emmanuel had Coach Steve Ramirez on. You actually had him mm-hmm. on your show a couple days ago as well. The number three seeded Eagles they've done a really good job in the playoffs. They've come up with clutch plays. You can see Coach Ramirez shaking hands with everybody right there. But the Eagles. You mentioned the team of destiny, and they're going to have to play. I'm going to be honest. They're going to have to play really good baseball today against the number one seeded. But they're primed. They're ready.
Emmanuel, I'm looking at them and how they've warmed up, and I saw a couple kids ask for extra ground balls to field. And I'm thinking this is a team that doesn't care about the other dugout. They don't care about the accolades that Liberty has. They don't care that Liberty has maybe the more higher-powered offense, because in one game, does it really matter? I mean, all the stats we'll give you today, all the numbers, all the accolades for the season, the all-league honors we'll talk about, it doesn't matter today. It's just one game. It's just seven innings. And if you're Emmanuel and you're head coach Steve Ramirez, that's what you're telling the boys. It doesn't matter that this team, Liberty, is on a 13-game winning streak. Let's put them on a one-game losing streak, and let's have our team win a Central Section title. And if there's someone who knows about winning Central Section titles, it's that guy, Steve Ramirez.
Yeah, he's been a part of it as a player and now as a coach. And the pitching situation, it's going to be all hands on deck for Emmanuel. Nolan Santillan, their number one, pitched five innings in the game against Reedley. So, according to the bylaws, there's obviously the pitch count, right, mm-hmm. for high school pitchers. And then there's days of rest. So there's a chart there. If you this many days of rest, you could pitch have these many pitches. You're allowed this many pitches in the following game. So Santillan is actually able to pitch five innings this year. They're going to start a pitcher named Mendez. He's a curveball guy. He's an off-speed guy. He's not going to throw very hard. Coach Ramirez is talking like, hey, we know that Liberty Madera is going to put the ball in play. We hope they hit it at somebody, and we make the plays and play catch. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Coach Ramirez and his staff figures out what to do pitching-wise. Obviously, you want to score early, and you want to go with Mendez as long as possible and hold off Santillan, maybe just for a couple innings if possible. But it's all hands deck for Emmanuel. They did actually looking at them right now. They're introducing the teams. Yeah. They did the bleach hair thing.
I was going to say that
did. Kingsburg did it. Emmanuel's doing it too.
Buchanan did it too. If you look at them, they're playing later tonight. But what's up with the bleached hair trend? I don't know if I missed that in high school when I was in there, but I don't think I would have done it even if I was on the high school baseball team and we were playing for a championship. I mean, my hair's, you're looking at it right now on Facebook Live, it's a hot commodity. I would look weird with bleached hair.
You got a nice, free-flowing head of hair, Gabe. I just got to admit, you're still young. There's a lot of time for you to lose your hair like me. I started losing my hair in college. But
You said it, not me.
I did it. I said it. So I'm kind of picturing you with blonde hair. I wonder what that would be.
Right now I'm keeping track. Emmanuel's like 8 for 9 with bleached hair.
All right. I'm looking at my wallet too right now. How much money I got in here? How much would it take for you to bleach your hair? I got a 20. Oh, there's another 20 in there. 40? I bet people out there listening, I bet they'd pitch in.
However much it costs to get a hat, that's all you owe me. Because I wear that hat every day of the week, twice on Sunday.
Well, speaking of hats, Coach Cranford, big fan of us, Gabe. He brought us hats. This hat's for you.
Great.
Kingsburg hat. Go
great
Vikings.
Stuff. All right. Kingsburg, tell me about that game real quick. I missed it. But how did Kingsburg take down Dos Palos?
Hey, Kingsburg came out swinging the bats. Those Hirschhorn twins can swing it. Ethan Winslow, Perkins, up and down the lineup. Coach Cranford mentioned 1 through 9, they were a tough out. There was no weaknesses in that lineup. You talk about the big boys, the Buchanans, the Redwoods. I mean, I would stack that team. They would compete in Division I this year. They're that solid.
You know, I think the only way they lose is by beating themselves. And that tells you a lot about how good of a team that is, that if they play their brand of baseball, which they typically play, they're pretty much unbeatable. But Dos Palos, I saw that they were able to put up a fight, and I think – Coach Leonard Davis has something cooking over there in Dos Palos.
He does. And, Van Wert, their catcher, is a junior. That name sounds familiar. His dad was a star mm-hmm. athlete there at Dos Palos. That kid's got a gun, too. He's those guys came up swinging. So Dos Palos is not going away. That program with Coach Davis is that's prime for the future as well. Yeah, there we go. Announcing all the starters. It's a big moment for all the kids standing out there. Again, a beautiful day here at Valley Strong Ballpark, coming to you live here on 1430 ESPN. We're going to take a break in about 2 minutes and come back. And first pitch is scheduled for 12 o'clock, so go straight into the game. Gabe, let's talk a tiny bit. We've got a couple minutes, like I said, about Buchanan and Central. Great story by Centennial. Great story from Centennial. Three straight road victories. But, hey, this Buchanan team at the beginning of the year, I didn't think this team would be here at the end, but they've made it.
You know, Buchanan, I think what's helpful for them is they faced two left-handed pitchers before this postseason. And so when they face a third one tonight, which we fully expect it to be Tanner Forbis, the young man who went a complete game against Bullard and beat the top seed in Knights, I think that might serve as valuable experience for the Buchanan Bears, facing already two left-handers. But the way that they beat Stockdale, it gives you the feeling that nothing can faze this team. Because they lost a six-run lead, and, I mean, most young teams like the Bears would have folded, but because they were well-coached, because they stayed poised, because they were still confident that they would find a way to win, despite Stockdale having all the momentum over the fourth, fifth, and sixth innings. I feel like this Buchanan team is coming in as a favorite, and deservedly so. Colton O'Toole throwing on the mound, your senior, someone who's been through a lot of big games before. I feel like he's the kind of guy you want. He's really good at just not throwing overwhelming velocity. He can touch the high 80s, but he's a guy that gets outs. He's a guy that gets ground outs and relies on the defense, and the defense has been spectacular this postseason. I'm thinking about the Rigetti game where you had Jace Davies with the diving catch to save a run and actually double off the runner at second. Even in the Stockdale game, there were a couple huge plays made that saved runs, double plays where you needed double plays to leave the bases loaded. I think Stockdale and Buchanan, and I hate to say this because I might have egg on my face come tomorrow morning, but Buchanan-Stockdale might have been the de facto championship. I think those were the best two teams in the Valley. And Centennial's going to try and obviously prove me wrong, but I think Buchanan has too much momentum to lose tonight. I got the Bears winning. Let's say final score 7-4.
Okay, making predictions. All right. Yeah, Buchanan, Centennial tonight, 7:30. Well, our game, just done with the announcements here between number 3, Emmanuel, and number 1, Liberty. We're going to take a break here. The next voice you're going to hear is Gabe Camarillo bringing you the play-by-play. I'm going to be staying on and talking about this great game, providing color. Thank you to First String Sports. Thank you to Jorge Rodriguez, Gabe Camarillo, Steve Ramirez, Jamie Maxwell, Maxie, Jim Cranford, Brad Fonts. The next voice you'll hear will be Gabe Camarillo, Emmanuel and Liberty on 1430 ESPN.